I feel like I've been like saying hi like that every time I've gotten on recently, which is not recent, if we're going to be completely honest. Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Walking Well podcast. I am your host, Jalon. It's been a minute as it's been a minute. I feel like, you know, art imitating life, life imitating art, podcasts imitating life. I don't know. Life has been lifing. That's been my phrase. Life has been lifing. And I don't know. I think I've taken time to myself. Just taking time, man, to get your bearings. Sometimes just pausing to like tend to yourself. It's kind of that thing. I guess it's Timothy. Take heed to yourself and your doctrine. But like the importance of like pausing to be with yourself, sit with yourself, heal where you need to heal. Rest where you need to rest, catch your breath. Like, you know, I think over time I've realized, it's been a startling realization that while I don't identify with like, I am worth my work and I'm only as good as my productivity, I realize not producing feels icky. And that has been uncomfortable. And it's been kind of a matter of discerning, like, do you pause or do you push through? I now work a podcasting job and I recognize plosives and I feel like I've got tons of plosives happening right now. But if you're not an audio techie, maybe you don't hear it. Well, anyway, staying on topic. I think, for now, we're just going to take it as it comes, go as it goes. And in the way that I only know how to show up as myself and only know how to speak to where I've been or where I am, want to give you some tools for survival. I was thinking about calling it like the love life season, you know, where you just figure out how to continue loving your life, even though life is lifing. But some of that feels like a big commitment, like a season feels like a big commitment. And so I'm just committing to showing up, which yet again feels like a big commitment. But I don't know. I think there could be something here. And so In a grand experiment, I want to maybe just give you some tools, right? Things that I have found helpful as a wanderer, as an explorer, as a person who is just like, oh, okay, is this what we doing? We got to still stay saved amongst all of this. Okay, Laura, what does that mean? What does that look like? So I just want to give some tools for the wanderer, tools for the wilderness, tools for the desert. I don't know. And I may have people share. I may do this a ton. I may do this 5 times. I don't know. But I want to talk about, I don't know. I don't know how many people can identify with the space that I find myself in where a lot of things are bigger. A lot of things are different. Like, it just, I don't know. I think the phrase I've been saying so much, especially over the past couple of years, but even now, is like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't really know. And that is an uncomfortable place for me because I like to be confident. I like to be comfortable. I like to show up knowing. And there's so much that I don't know. And some of it is like, ooh, I don't know. That's interesting. Let's think about that. And some of it is like, what is this? I hate it. I don't like it. Define yourself, please. And that feels in some ways like a wilderness space. In other ways, it feels like an adventure. I was talking to one of my friends the other day and I was like, I'm sick of being Dora the Explorer, man. Like, can we just define where we at, get a formula down for it and be done? Life be lifing. And that's not what we doing. I'm rambling just a little bit, but I want to talk to you about some tools for spaces like that where you're like, I don't really know. And I think, okay, no, maybe not. I don't know. Like, they feel like wilderness spaces. They're unknown. They're uncharted. They are full of uncertainty, and Brené Brown would have so much to say and does have so much to say about that. But for moi, it has not been exciting. It's been really hard. And I don't know. I would imagine that a lot of people can identify with things kind of being hard or feeling difficult or like just what the heck is all this uncertainty? And so I want to kind of just hand you things that I have discovered on this journey in this season of a lot of unknown. And one of those things, the primary thing that has been so very important and like a core strength thing has been hope. I want to kind of just start off with this scripture, and it's in Zechariah 9. You know, I don't know how many people have studied Zechariah 9, but when I was thinking about hope, this phrase that I remember, but I wasn't quite sure where it's from, just kept popping up, and it was prisoners of hope. And so Zechariah 9, verse 12 in the Amplified says, "Return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity to you." And just that phrase, when you think prisoner, you don't think hope. When you think hope, you don't think prisoner, right? Those feel like a weird juxtaposition. But I also want to read it to you in the Voice translation. Let's see. It's a good thing I have to flip through pages to find this, but I do have to scroll and it's not where I thought it was. Okay. So Zechariah 9. I'm probably going to read a little bit more than, I'm probably like 11 and 10. I'm sorry, 11 and 12. So it says, "The Eternal One is speaking," when this verse starts. It says, "As for you, because of the covenant promise I made with you through your ancestor David, a covenant sealed in blood, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit of death." Verse 12, "Return to your walled cities, safe and secure, O hostages of hope. I announce today that I will restore to you twice as much as what was taken." And I think in the space and the season, I know for me, I can feel like, you know, type one on the Enneagram, tend towards perfectionism, when life be life and it does not go the way that you thought or planned or expected. You know, for me, I can turn inward and be like, what didn't I think? What didn't I check off? What didn't I examine? How could I not have seen this happening? Why did I think this was the right direction? And you can feel like you forfeited. I can feel like I have forfeited certainty, knowing, comfortability, my wholeness. I can't believe. Oh, see, if I would have never done, then this would have never. And I love this hostage of hope. You know, you are as a believer. You, there's so many phrases that come up. We are not to grieve as those without hope, right? Like, we're not to be grieving as people who don't have a resurrection, a redemption, a God is always working this out for our good on the shelf for us, right? Like, we are to be a hostage at every turn. You hope, no hope. Like, you don't get the option to not hope. You don't get the option to fall into hopelessness. I mean, you could, because God ain't gonna be like, you cannot be hopeless. Like, he understands. He's the high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but you are never left with that being your only option. If you fall into hopelessness, you don't have to stay there. You can be a prisoner. You can be a hostage of hope. You can still hope. And life is hard and it can be dark and it can be cruel. But I think sometimes in all of that, it's meant to snuff out our hope, right? To just blow out our light of hope. And that things will get better. And I don't know if you're familiar with the anecdote of, like, you can live so many days without water, so many days without food, but not at all without hope, you know? And that's like a cutesy saying, but in truth, in reality, when you've lost hope, you've lost your will to fight. You've lost your will to show up. You are battered. You are in the fetal position in your mind. And God is wanting more for you. God has more for you. And I think when we find ourselves in the darkest places in our own minds, it's because we've lost hope. And so in spaces where you feel like you're wandering or you don't know, or that went left, like, you have to hope. There's a scripture in Psalms 27. You are going to hear pages turning because I got my Bible next to me. Psalms 27, one of my favorite verses, verse 13, "What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living?" And that's a posture of hope. You know, we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, and therefore we hope, right? Like, what would have become of me if I didn't believe that I would see God's goodness here in this time in my life? What would have become of me? And I think it's kind of like, it's a rhetorical question, because, you know, like, man, man, if I didn't believe that God was going to come through for me, shoot. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the posture. Like, you would have been hopeless. You would have been left without hope. And there is wilderness spaces, places where you're like, yo, I don't understand, I don't know, can be so disheartening. And you need hope to prop you up. Like, you need hope. And what's hard about hope is that you kind of have to fight for hope. You know what I'm saying? Like, hope don't just float in. Like, when you need hope is when you are tired and when you're weary and when you're like over it and you're just like, yo, I don't think I got no more fight in me. That's when you need hope. You don't need hope when things are going great. You good. But when things are battering you, that is when you need hope. When you feel vulnerable, that is when you need hope. And what's beautiful about it is that God promises to carry. I think in different moments, in different spaces, God has had to remind me, because I'm a doer and I'm not a perfectionist, in Jesus' name. God has had to remind me that he's going to carry me. Isaiah 46:4 popped up for me about a week ago, just popped into my spirit. And I was like, God, what is that? I don't even know what this is. And I'm going to read it to you because it was that impactful and I've been sharing it with people. But it says, even to your old age, I am he. Even to hair white with age will I carry you. I have made you and I will bear. Yes, I will carry and save you. The verse before that says that he's carried you from the womb. And, you know, in hoping, you just kind of have to turn your face. Like, you just got to be like, okay, God, I'm going to choose to hope. Like, it's not for you to carry the weight of figuring out how or when or why. It's just, God, I know you have goodness for me in this season. God, I know you haven't abandoned me. God, I know you haven't forsaken me. And sometimes, most times, you need to say that out of your mouth because your mind is racing. And oftentimes, thoughts are getting thrown at you, pelted at you, suggested to you about how things won't work out, about you'll be here forever, about it's not going to turn around and it's not going to change. And that's not the case. That's not true, right? Like, it's just not true. And I just want to remind you, because I have to remind me, that my belief empowers things, right? Like, just like my words empower things, my belief empowers things. I think back to Job, which, you know, we could do, it's fine. Job said, the thing that I feared most has come upon me. And your belief pulls things to you. That's why God is, hey, have faith. Your faith has made you well. It manifests things for you. And so hope is, no, I'm going to set my mind on the things above, not the things below. I'm going to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to believe that there is an other side to this, that this will not be my forever. This is just right now. So God promises to carry. So you don't have to actually carry the weight of hope. You just have to turn your face towards it and exercise your choice, your will. I choose to believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I think this is even, you know, woo-wee, whatever, affirmations, which are really just confessions, which is really just your release faith out of your mouth. Amen. speaking it, saying it, you know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm getting way ahead of myself. All right. So I'm gonna shout out where I got this from, but it's so good. So God has promised to carry you, right? Because you were, as it's amazing, it's such a good line. You were not built to carry, you were built to cast. Shout out to Minister Bailey at my church. He said this to a bunch of kids while he's teaching. You're not built to carry, you're built to cast. And I wrote it down so fast. I have stuck it on my ceiling because y'all know that's where I put my, well, you may not know. That's where I put scriptures and things on my ceiling. But you were not built to carry, you were built to cast, which is why God has said, I will carry you. I've carried you from the womb. I got you here. I'm going to carry you till your hair is white with age. I'm a good shepherd. I'm going to make sure you get to where you need to be, right? Isaiah 58:11 says, I will guide you continually. And so, you were not built to carry. You weren't built to carry yourself, your life. That's a reminder for all of us doers and performers. Like, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to make sure I'm here. I got to make sure I'm not. Am I checking off all the boxes? Am I doing all the things I need to do? It's so, like, I envy people who can live messy. And I mean, just not even like messy, like sinning, but messy, like just be human and be like, oh man, I messed that up. Anyway, next time, you know, like that's so hard, hard for me. I don't know that I've done it yet. But people that can just be like, okay, God's gonna get me where I need to go. I have a spiritual covenant friend, mentor, Nikki Wright, who's been on this podcast a bunch of times, between her and her sister Nina, at different times in different conversations, or just praying over me, just talking about there are no mistakes in God. That man, essentially, like he expands. Oh, I think it's either Psalms 18 or Psalm 16. It talks about the Lord expands the ground beneath your feet, and it's almost like even in all of your missteps and you trying to get it right, you know, and you missing it or not making the right choice or whatever. That Romans 8, he's constantly working things out for your good. Or even like Psalms, I think 37 says that the righteous, even when they stumble, the Lord holds their hands. So they're not utterly cast down. And so you don't have to carry yourself. You don't have to make sure that you get where you need to be. You actually just have to keep getting up, going to bed, getting up, going to bed. And the sun is going to shine. The fog is going to lift. And that is hope, right? Like that is hope. And so one of the things that you do have to do when you're showing up is cast. Okay, Lord, I don't really know. I thought this was not okay. I can't. I don't even, when is this going? I don't know. You got to do it. You got to be God. You got to carry me. That's hope. That's hope. That's going, okay, I don't know. But that, I'm going to push it on to you because I can't carry the weight of it. And what's so interesting to me is over the past couple of years, I've had people say like, hey, you're carrying things that you're not meant to carry. You're carrying things that you're not meant to carry. You're carrying things that you're not meant to carry. And the weight of your mistakes, your missteps, the different things, the decisions you wouldn't make again, outcomes, how people are going to receive you, like some of that stuff, not some of it. None of that stuff is stuff that you're meant to carry. That's stuff that the blood is meant to cover. But the scripture talks about casting your care. The scripture talks about casting two things, casting your cares and then casting down imaginations. And so those cares, if I could borrow my spiritual dad's definition, over engrossing mental affairs, things that just wipe through your mind and just put it on lockdown. That's a care. And then imaginations, casting down imaginations and every high thing that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Imaginations would be those thoughts, those whispers, this was going to happen. Oh no, that's not going to go the way you thought it was going to go. And here's what's beautiful. And I think back to the Hebrew boys that were thrown into the furnace with this. Even if the worst case scenario happens, God is still going to carry you and sustain you even in that space. And so you don't have to be afraid. You could still be afraid. It could still be overwhelming, but as much as possible, cast it down. Like, no, goodness, mercy, pursue me all the days of my life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's a scripture that I would meditate on when I was in college and like super upset about it. And it's Psalms 97:11. And it basically says light is sown all along the pathway of the godly. And that was a hope scripture for me. That was like, this place is dark, but God, you said that light was sown all along my path. So where is the light? I'm going to now fix my eyes on finding the light. And that's hope. That's hope. I do a vision board every year, usually. And so on this year's vision board, I have this picture of a woman boxing. She's hitting a boxing bag. I think it's called a boxing bag. And I have the phrase underneath it, you said hope. And that's such a, like, it's a visceral image for me, especially when I'm feeling like, it's like, this is a fight, but your fight is to hope. Right? Like kind of like the scripture that talks about our labor is to rest. Your fight is to hope. Your fight is to fix your mind on what you hope to see. If y'all hear noise, I'm so sorry. But your fight is to hope, is to go, I'm not going to crumble. I'm not going to fold. Even if today I just get up and take a shower, even if today I just go through the motions and I'm still feeling anxious, even if today I'm still like, what is the answer to this problem? I'm a get up and hope. Like, God, you still got to be who you said you would be. And I don't know when the light is going to come on. I don't know when the shark music, I don't know when that's going to stop going for me. But I have to believe that there will be a day where this is no longer my circumstance. I have to hope. And it is that, you know, like that image of having to fighting for your hope. I'm sorry that it's a fight. I really am. I wish hoping didn't feel like a fight, but I know when you are despairing. I know when it feels like you just keep getting hit and knocked down and knocked down and knocked down. that it's like, I'm already tired. And now you're asking me to extend myself in this maybe thing, this I wish it would be better thing. Like, yeah, I am. Because the reality is, when you stop hoping, you kind of give up your life force. When you stop hoping, that's quitting. And the only way you lose is if you quit. And I just don't want to see you, me, anybody else robbed from the light at the end of the tunnel because we stopped in the middle and just gave up. Because that's the only way you stay where you are, when you stop hoping. And it takes courage to hope. Like, it is literally like extending your neck out after you've already gotten, you know, like disappointed and your wrist slapped or whatever. It's like, okay, I'm a hope that things will be different. Hope. You have to hope. And hope, part of the hoping is imagining, like having something to fix your mind on. Like, okay, right now it's like this, but ooh, I can't wait until it's like this. I can see myself here. I just got to keep moving. God is going to be faithful. Yeah, God is going to be faithful. God is going to be faithful. God is going to be faithful. And that's how you do it. That's like the first step. Like, when I talk about giving you keys for the wilderness, that's the first one. Like, nothing else matters if you refuse to hope. It's like your mind isn't even in the position to take any other tools in, right? Yeah, don't get robbed. This is just a season. Life is just a bunch of seasons smushed together. And at my age, I've already seen a couple seasons here and there, right? Some that are really rough, some that have been amazing. And I remember my amazing seasons. And I imagine that amazing seasons will come back around. I imagine that the sun will come up, that the fog will lift. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that. I don't want to become paralyzed by what I don't know or don't understand or I'm not sure about and stop. It's kind of like when it's raining. My dad has always told me this, that whenever you're in a rainstorm, it can get really bad where you can't see in front of you, right? Like, if you live in Florida, you know what these are like. It's pouring and you cannot see like the car in front of you, and everybody's going like 15 miles an hour. And sometimes you'll see some cars pulled off to the side, sitting, you know, like under an overpass or just on the side of the road, because it's just become too much, right? Like, driving through it has just become too much and they're just going to wait for it to pass. And you can do that. But my dad always said, he's like, no, keep driving, because eventually you'll drive out of the storm, right? And I just think about that so often in life, because sometimes you can just park at like, this is how it'll always be. And that's essentially sitting in it, right? That's like, I'm gonna wait for the storm to pass me and not move out of it. Does it take more effort to move out of it? Yeah. But you actually get out of it a lot faster than sitting in it, because sitting in it is waiting for, I mean, it could sit over you, right? Like, it can move at 2 miles an hour, the storm can. Or it could just be rain. It could be a huge storm that's just gonna take forever to pass over you. And I just think about life, like, time is our one unrenewable resource. You don't get your time back. And not to put pressure on yourself, because I know some of us can hear and be like, I know, I need to get out of this faster. It's like, no. Just don't stay stuck, right? Like, just don't sit in it. Keep moving, keep going. And I've had so many people say that to me in the past couple of years, and I'm just like, go where? Where am I supposed to be going? You know? And it's kind of like Abraham. Like, Abraham had no clue where he was going. And this is the thing about God carrying you. Abraham had no, God was like, go. He was like, where? God was like, I said, go. And in just walking and moving, he got to where he needed to go, because God is too big to mismanage our lives or to allow us to mismanage them. And so, not to get caught up in the perfection of getting where you need to be or getting out of your storm, but just to encourage you to just move, just do something. Me showing up on this podcast is a little bit of me moving. Not a little bit, it's a lot of it. And I can't tell you how many people have been like, when are you gonna get back podcasting? And I've just been like, leave me alone. But I realize and recognize I gotta move. Let's see, you know, there was a time when I stopped journaling because I was like, it's just too much. And at some point I was just like, well, let's see. Are we going to just keep doing what we've been doing? How is that working? is that serving you? No. So let's try something else. Let's do something different. And so hope is doing something different. If you're in a wilderness space, if you're wandering, if you're like, yo, I'm over the season, hope. I just want you to start. And that's a, like, it's a little big thing. Like, hope. Imagine something different. See yourself where you are hoping you'll be at some point. Just, and it can hurt to hope. I know. I get it. But what is your other choice? What else are you going to do? Precisely. So let's wrap up here. I want to read to you, how Psalm 27 ends, right? So I read, you know, what would have become of me if I had not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord of the living, the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14 says, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. This is the bonus. I think it's actually Proverbs 29. Ooh, don't make me lie. I think it's Proverbs 29:18 that I'm turning to right now. I'm kind of stalling because I think it's that verse. I might have lied to you. Okay, wait. It might be Proverbs 18. Oh, my gosh. I don't know the verse. Oh, man. This is so bad. All right. That's all right. We found it by the Lord's goodness. It's 23, Proverbs 23. It's 17 and 18. It says, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord all the day long. This is the verse that I really want you to focus on. For surely there is a latter end, a future and a reward, and your hope and expectation shall not be cut off. Hoping can be hard because you can feel like it's a fool's bet. It's a fool's errand. It's a fool's journey because you've been so disappointed or discouraged or let down. Your hope and your expectation will not be cut off. That is a promise from God that you can stand on. It will not be cut off. And so wherever you need to put that, wherever you need to write it, wherever you need to see it, put it there. Your hope and your expectation will not be cut off. And I'll just leave you with this last little thing. You have the word in you. So you need to fight. Period. The end. You have the word in you. And I'm only telling you this, like I'm telling you because God said it to me and I didn't appreciate it. So I'm gonna just pass it on. You have the word in you. So you need to fight. God is doing and will do all that he said he's doing and will do. You have the word in you. You are equipped for this. You are well able and well equipped. You have to fight. So show up in hope. Just baby steps, little by little. I'm going to just believe it's going to be a good day. If that's your baby step, if that's your little bit of hope, hey, we starting somewhere. Because that's a seed. Everything is a seed. It's a seed. It'll grow. It'll take root. We're going to water it. We're going to meditate on it. So all the scriptures that I shared, look them up. If you're struggling with hope, if you're just like, this sucks, like, hey, let's start turning the ship around. Let's start turning the ship around. It's been going in destruction for a minute. We're going to hope. So that's our commitment. That's our commitment this week. We going to hope. We going to hope. All right. I love you. I am just praying God's goodness, God's mercy, God's sustaining power over you and in you and for you. And yeah, show up and fight. Love y'all. Bye.